We could not finish our discussion of the thumakon, that is to say, the part of the self that is responsible for the energy of thumos, this powerful energy that is particularly activated when either what we're attempting to do is difficult or when we find ourselves in danger, and which is properly expressed as, at least in classical philosophical terms, as the virtue of courage, and in a particular way in the Christian context as a patient endurance and as zeal, as we've seen. It would not be possible for us to finish our description of the thumakon without spending a moment describing the word courage and its uses and its significance in Christianity and in the New Testament. The thumakon has classically been described as having as its virtue the virtue of Andrea, or in Latin, fortitudo, that is to say, often translated, strictly speaking, as courage. However, it's very interesting that the word Andrea is not used in the New Testament to convey this notion. This is a word that is used in classical philosophy to illustrate the virtue or the consecrated power of the thumakon, but Christians understand this in a different way and specifically seem to avoid the classical virtue word. Now, it comes back into Christian spiritual tradition once Christian authorities begin to read classical sources and use them as part of their own formation. But it's very interesting to see the words which the New Testament uses instead. So let's spend a moment just looking at these words. In the New Testament, as we'll see, the words that are used to describe this classical virtue are instead tharsos, which means to be courageous or confident, and even more often, the verb form, thareo, which means to be confident or courageous. And we'll see why, I think, in just a moment. Let's drop down from number one to number two, to the specific description of the words Andrea and fortitudo. Andrea is a very masculine word in classical Greek. It refers to the masculine, warlike virtue of brave deeds. Now, women can also manifest Andrea, but it contains within it one of the terms that is actually used to describe a male person, andros, a male person as opposed to a rather more generic person. So it is as if the classical Greek virtue word contains within it something that is almost exclusively or overwhelmingly masculine. It can also, in a negative sense, be used of insolence, but it also means the masculine prime of life, a man's principal best years, a skill, and can even refer to male virility. So there is a very, very almost exclusively, but not completely exclusively, masculine quality to this word. And in the Latin, there is a little less of that, but it primarily, the term fortitudo refers to strength. It can refer to a firmness, a willingness to endure or undertake hardship, and it's the term for bravery or courage. But as I've noted, and if we drop down now to number three, the terms used for courage in the New Testament are rather different, and they have a different context. The word that is primarily used is tharsos for courage, and thareo, to be courageous or to be confident, and it even has a sense of not to be afraid. In classical Greek, as I've noted here, thareo can mean to be daring, to be bold, to be of good cheer, to be courageous, and there's this positive, cheerful sense of it. It's not just the exclusively man going to war doing manly things. There's a quality of confidence, of cheerfulness to it that is not specifically gender related. It can mean being confident, particularly not being afraid. And the context in classical Greek that one finds particularly in Plato's dialogue Phaedrus is that one can be confident or secure or even brave in the face of death because one knows that the soul is immortal. It is knowledge of or faith in the immortality of the soul that allows one to be courageous or even cheerful even aware of the human existential fact of the existence of death. Death need not cause sorrow because in classical Greek, pre-Christian, pre-Old Testament, or I should say, other than the Old Testament world, one has a sense that you can be courageous because you know that the soul is immortal. Now, in the Old Testament, where this word is used, it's a way of describing both the way that human beings invite one another to be courageous in a time of emergency and stress, but even more, it has to do with a sense that the God of the Old Testament, Yahweh, is ready to help. God, we can be of good courage because, we can be courageous because God is there ready to help us. It's not just the immortality of the soul that gives courage, as in classical Greek. Now, when this Greek term is used in the Old Testament, it's used to translate or convey the idea that we are able to be of good courage because God is there waiting to help us. And in the New Testament, thareo is the word that Jesus uses. Be of good courage. Do not be afraid because I am there. I am there for you. This is what he says to the fearful disciples in the storm. The term can mean both. Don't be afraid and be courageous because I am. It's not just knowing that the God of the Old Testament is present. Christ is with us. That's the source of Christian courage. It's not a virtue that comes just from within yourself because of yourself. It's a virtue you find in the depths of the soul because there Christ is present. We are, as it were, in the storms of life. We are like those who are storm-tossed or in need of assurance, and there we find the reassuring presence of Christ. So for the Christian, the virtue of courage is possible because of what God has done in Christ, because God is giving us Christ's presence, his reassuring presence, as particularly in the scriptures, when he's present to the disciples in need. As this selection or condensation of material from Kittle says, the gospel of Jesus, which consists both in his proclamation and in his action, gives joy and confidence. It is the presence of Christ and the proclamation of Christ that creates joy and confidence. That's what chases away anxiety and distress. So, courage in this sense, being courageous, is about appropriating what we know is true because the gospel has been preached. It's about being aware of and choosing to remember the truths of the gospel and above all, the truth that Christ is with us. Despite the fact that the disciples are threatened by persecution and martyrdom, and they live in a certain kind of anxiety, they are summoned to courage, to be of good cheer, to not be afraid. All of those phrases are ways of translating thareo. In the world you will have distress, the Lord says, but be confident, tharsete, which can be translated as do not be afraid. Be confident, be courageous, because I, Christ, have overcome the world. That is to say, we can be confident because the victory has already been achieved. And so Kittle concludes, they, meaning the Christian faithful, are in the hands of the victor over the whole of the universe. Thus, they need not have any fear of what the cosmos will bring. So for the Christian, tharsos, courage in this sense, is not the andrea of the old philosophical tradition. It's not something that you summon up in order just to be a good soldier. It's not the masculine virtue of overcoming. It is the confidence that is possible. It's the absence of fear that is the Christian's proper inheritance because of what God has done in Christ, because of the ongoing presence of Christ, who continues to say to his disciples, even now, do not be afraid. I am with you. That is the source of the Christian's confidence and courage.